Hello, everyone. This is Derek White, Sky Cloud, and you listen to Between Two Worlds on BBS Radio, your internet connection to the healing program. And I actually work as a psychic medium and paranormal investigator, and I also get involved in a lot of the healing programs. And, you know, I've always been researching many different things in life that we try to find alternative ways to help people through the healing process, even go back to the earth and get back to using our herbs. But I've also come across many different things that, you know, we have issues with the government that actually gets into our, our lives, that actually causes a little bit of interference with our personal well-being, and our bodies start to react and respond different ways. So what I decided to do, I actually had have a good friend here who I invited back on our show, and that's Joanne Giroux. And also Joanne and hugely inspired me to get a hold of Stan Skomo. We're going to be talking about the subject. It's called Morgellon. Now, I don't want to ask what Morgellon is right at the moment, but I really want to let everybody else know out there, we won't be able to do any phone-ins for call-ins because basically we're short one line, but I will share this with the public. We already know how many people are coming online because we do have our chat line set up here. So those who are coming in the chat line, we welcome you. And any of you out there who want to do the chat line, you can go to bbsradio.com, that's bbsradio.com, and go to the right side scroll, which is Between Two Worlds, the title name. And then you go to the word BBS, my chat room. Go there, and you can actually ask the questions. Please look forward to coming in, and we welcome you there. The line is open, and basically the title is called Between Two Worlds. Now, also, to let everybody else know ahead of time, I always like to recognize Dr. Valerie Olsted, who actually was on previously before, just before my show. She's talking about, she actually brought up the subject about chemtrails, and she talked about what we had to deal with regarding the chemicals that they put into the chemtrails that actually are left into the sky, and we breathe all that, and part of the chemtrail actually has fluorine in it. Now, and there's other chemicals that mix them with it. So the thing is that a lot of this is going to be very effective. And when I bring in these people to welcome them in, I also want to acknowledge my affiliates. But we want to get started as quick as possible because there's so much to talk about in a matter of 1 hour of the show. So I'd like to welcome Joanne.
Hello.
And are you Hello. Guys there?
I'm here.
Good. Stan, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hello.
Hi, Stan.
Hi, Joanne. How are you?
I'm good.
All right.
We're all good, right?
Yep.
Okay. Now, the first I want to introduce first is Joanne Giroux. She actually works in the field. I've had Joanne on my show before. We actually talked about different alternatives ways of healing and how to understand Earth's work and need as far as our health is concerned and what we need to turn to as far as alternatives are concerned. As well, I keep on saying the word concerned because I really am concerned about what is happening in our world. And that is when she told me about the word Morgellon. And she talked about Stan. I thought, oh, my God. And I got a hold of Stan, and I had a chat with Stan. And Stan, welcome to the room.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing my best. You know, I got ill about almost 2 years ago, quite badly. And
yeah.
So I'm keeping up, just doing the best way I can, to be honest with you.
Can you tell everybody what you do, actually? What made you decide to turn to that? And I mean, what did you do in the beginning to decide to get into this, having to say, you know, that you've actually started a society in Canada here called Morgellon Society of Canada. What made you decide to do this?
Well, that's correct. It, basically, it's kind of a two-year, I guess I could call it a journey, because I became infected with this very strange disease about 2 years ago while working in the hospital in British Columbia, in Chilliwack, and dealing with basically with clients directly on the floor. I became infected with something that was at first diagnosed as lice, then scabies, then hookworm, and it progressed from there. Right to the point that I was diagnosed as being delusional because I'm imagining the disease. And when I realized that I was on my own, I had to start actually searching around. And in this case, what I found that there's many, actually thousands of other people in the same situation as me in Canada and in the United States. And there was much more support for basically people with the same symptoms that I was experiencing in the United States and then in Canada. Therefore, once I found a kind of a temporary name given to the set of symptoms that I have, which was Morgellons, okay, I decided that I'm going to try to work with the people affected the same way in Canada, and I set up this nonprofit organization or society, which is called the Morgellons Society of Canada, and I put it in effect in about September of last year.
Now, the question is, do you have, you mentioned earlier that we talked about this Morgellons, actually, is it man-made? Or is it actually something that's been around for a long time?
Well, this is kind of a really interesting thing because the Morgellons symptoms as such, which are basically very evident, for some reason, they're not being recognized by the main medical body, which means that, like for example, in the United States, there's a Morgellons Foundation, a society similar to ours, that has registered 10,000 families with this type of a syndrome, or symptoms. The story is almost always the same, that a person becomes ill, it feels that they have something almost like crawling on, in, or under their skin. The first idea is that it would be lice or scabies, and you know, the story is same thing as it was with me. However, till today, the cause of this was not truly identified. However, the latest research done by three scientists, which is, you know, they're all in the U.S., this is Dr. Weimore from Oklahoma State University, Hildegard Steninger from Los Angeles, and Vitaly Sikorsky from the Stonebrook University in New York. What it's coming down to, that this is a man-made, in laboratory created, some kind of a biological bio-nanotechnology invention. And it's something very scary.
Well, I'll ask you another question here that basically, do the doctors believe in what you're doing? Have you ever come across the medical industry? Have you approached them about this? Or how did they respond to this?
Well, it's, this is kind of just quite amazing because the classic patients, they basically start experiencing the symptoms. They go to a doctor, and usually their GP, who basically, again, goes through the process of the license, KBs, and so on. And after that, I would say about 80% of the people are accused of hurting themselves or imagining this. So at that point, they're being referred to dermatologists, where they concur with the GP on the fact that this person is delusional. Usually, the diagnosis is called the DOP, delusional with parasitosis, and the person's kind of out on their own. At that point, especially in Canada, anything that they had that they pay into the medical plans and any access that they would have to the medical is basically being taken away from them, and they start surviving on paying everything, every single remedy, being at herbal, being at you know, vitamins. They basically on their own. The doctors are not supporting them. Us contacting different doctors, we basically meeting with just a very hard wall because they don't want to have nothing to do with it.
Joanne, have you ever come across Morgellons yourself?
I have clients.
Can you join here?
I have clients that have Morgellons. When I'm around in close proximity to people with Morgellons, the unfortunate aspect of Morgellons is people treat you like you've almost got leprosy, you know, like they did in the olden days and banished people to these islands. And I find a lot of the people that I've come across with Morgellons are very, very compassionate individuals. Like Stan said, it's a journey. And guess what? They're people, too, and they need a hug. I give them a hug, and I can feel the vibration of Morgellons. I don't have it, or if I do have it, I don't know that I have it. I haven't had any skin eruptions or anything. However,
so how do you know that you really do have it? Or how do you think you know you have it?
Well, I think if you know you have Morgellons, you start getting these open sores and you start having these fibers. These fibers are not part of their imagination. At my friend's store, we actually have samples of these fibers that Morgellon sufferers have actually brought into us. And they're not pretty. So, yeah, that's the encounters I've had. They're wonderful people. They're interesting people. And, boy, are they on a journey. I mean, they can stop a train with their stories. And Stan's right, there is no support, no support out there, not from the medical profession. And I think those of us that are willing to deal with people and look beyond the box don't have it easy either, because nobody really knows what we're talking about, and we don't know where to go for help.
Well, Stan, I have to ask you another sort of question here, is that even though they say it's man-made, and I remember hearing someone, you know, I think you believe you're telling me that it does the altering in the DNA. It's found, what, in the canola or in the wheat, in the cotton fields? You mentioned about cotton fields.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else is found in, or just those three particular areas?
Well, that's kind of, the jury's still out on that, because you see, like, with some of the individuals that basically have this this Morgellon symptoms, first of all, like what Joanne mentioned, that the Morgellons is also called the fiber disease, because there's the very peculiar fibers that actually start growing out of people's skin, and sometimes in different colors. They can be white, black, blue, or red, and it's just absolutely bizarre. It's almost like something you could compare to Stephen King, movie or book. And the idea is basically that which started probably around 20 years ago. It's a genetic alteration of DNA. And in this case, it seems that there is some kind of a really primal ooze, or some kind of a slime mold, that is being spliced with one, two, possibly even more other types of DNA, which can be maybe a mammal DNA, some other animal DNA, it could be some other bacteria DNA, plant DNA, and so on. And what makes this new organism, when it's engineered this way, what it means that it's because of the different types of DNA, it becomes extremely adaptable. So if you take the situation that and we know that actually organisms are being produced that actually protect the cotton fields, that they do their job, but what happens after? And there's really no regulations that anybody knows of that actually the FDA or anybody else would be regulating, okay, what actually happens, how the tests are done, and what happens with these biological created organisms after they basically expire their function.
Well, okay, so basically the DNA is mimicked. It's basically duplicated, and it goes in the skin and on the skin?
Well, it lives this new organism lives on the skin, in the skin, under the skin, and also this is a systemic disease, so it lives in many other parts of the body. In particular, it likes the human lymph system, like the glands and so on. It loves the roots of the hair, sinuses, nasal cavity, anything that would provide kind of a moisture and warmth, okay, this organism likes. What it makes it really so dangerous is the fact that it has an amazing ability to adapt. It's obviously engineered that it can adapt itself to survive in any environment and adapt itself to any conditions that are basically that are around it. So therefore, there's also the question, can it adapt itself, that it can shield itself from any kind of antibiotics or any viral medicine, because it just changes its DNA. In the human body, unfortunately, this organism has this amazing capacity of mimicking the human DNA, which means it actually takes from the body certain parts of the DNA and adapts itself to that. And at this point, our immune system doesn't actually go after it because it thinks it's a part of the body.
So basically it's almost like cloning itself.
Exactly. So the scary part, really, on the end, it's when one wants to take push the envelope a little bit farther, it's actually to think, for somebody who's heavily infected with this, how much of the original body is actually in the human body left after this orgasm is finished with it.
Okay. Joanne, has there ever been, have you found any other ways or alternatives actually to help to work on the healing process of Morgellons?
Well, it's kind of bizarre, but about 14 years ago, myself as well as two other people, they are located, one is in Australia and one is in Iceland, and we met along the way over the years. Not accidentally, I guess, but we kind of ran into each other in bizarre circumstances. Anyhow, three of us received a dream and instructions how to make a remedy. And then several years after that, I was instructed on how to make another type of remedy. Now, I was told that those they're vibrational remedies, like essences, and they were for the diseases of the future. Well, what I found with one of the remedies many, many years ago, that it really helped people elevate to a different level of consciousness, those people that were, especially teenagers. Teenagers seem to be influenced by so many things. So the teenagers that were using this, or their moms that were using this without the teenagers knowing, and subjecting them to the remedy, just, you know, externally, in their rooms and stuff, found that they reached a higher level of vibration, and they were no longer going to parties, they were no longer drinking, you know, smoking weed or whatever, and they were excelling in school. So I thought, well, maybe. Then along comes Morgellons. And I thought, okay, because I was told in the dream to read Revelations and the second angel and the second bowl of plagues, and the disease that man would be in pain and discomfort from the open sores all over his body. So I read that, and I thought, ew, right? This, like I said, this is 14 years ago. And I guess that's what it's for, because it seems to work. I'm not going to say it gets rid of it, but so far, the vibratory remedies have been able to keep people afloat, you know, keep their sanity, because this does affect the mind. And if it doesn't actually go into the brain, after a while, your psyche does start to suffer. I mean, put yourself in their position. Mine would, you know.
Yeah. How did you and Stan meet?
Through a practitioner I work with and a friend of theirs. I think that's the way it went, right, Stan?
Yeah, and then there was a and then also I think that you stumbled also then across my website.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's how we put it together.
Mm-hmm. Okay. For those of you who are just coming in the show right now, listening in, because I just noticed there's more people coming in the chat room. We're talking to Stan Skomel. And also Joanne Giroux, who I asked to participate in this because she has also has worked with Stan and has she informed me regarding this on the subject called Morgellons or Morgellons. And I actually want to give you guys out there Stan's bio. And it basically says that Stan was born in Prague, Czechoslovakia. And after living in Cuba, Germany, Mexico, and on and off in the United States, he presently resides in Victoria, British Columbia, Canada. He also has a master's degree in social work and diploma in counseling and diploma in criminal justice. He has worked as an alcohol and drug counselor, psychiatric unit counselor, and social worker, and the Canadian Mental Health Association Programs Director, and also has a private counseling practice. So basically, Stan is a very intelligent man. He knows his stuff. After 15 years ago, he went through a rapid transformation. This man was used to be melted into the background and a new being emerged. He realized that in this lifetime, he had a purpose. And he's a system buster, a light worker, a subtle channel. He heals people, places, and things. The spirit pointed him in the direction of change, and he follows it to the best of his ability. For the last 11 years, he has practiced Stan, help me on this. Called tennis.
Tensegrity. Yeah, it's a practice of movement. It's a combination of Tai Chi, Aikido, yoga, and some stretching exercises.
Okay, so it's energy body movements discovered 10,000 years ago by shamans of antiquity in Mexico. He also practices meditation and yoga, and at present he's working on his first book. Stan, you haven't written a book yet?
Well, I'm about 2/3 into it.
He's been working on it. Yeah, 2 years ago, to his surprise, his body became affected with the strange symptoms, which he found out later was called Morgellons disease, and he has learned to control the symptoms. However, till today, he was unable to get the invader out of the system. And in 2006, he established a nonprofit Morgellons Society of Canada to assist and to support Canadians with Morgellons disease. Now, Stan has a website called www.morgellons.ca, and it's morgellons.ca. Wow. Stan, you've been busy.
Yeah, it was busy 2 years, and especially, I guess, there was a quite frustrating part, and this is to deal on the kind of what I would say the kind of the first level, the mundane level of trying to deal with the bureaucracy and actually just plain meanness and stupidity, you know, that we encounter just in about every step of the way trying to do something with this. And I really feel sorry for many of the people that are affected by that. And however, and I think that it's good that Joan kind of presented that in some of the words that she spoke a little while ago, that there's a little bit more to it, that Morgellons is so out of the box, okay? This is something so very strange about it, okay? That to keep dealing with it only as a disease, try to compare it to some kind of, again, strain of flu or something like that, I don't think that it will ever work. It's totally out of the box. This is something very strange, very weird, almost bizarre, but I'm sure there's a definite purpose to it.
We have someone on the chat room, and they're asking the question that they said it smells like a superbug, or perhaps not cooked pork, you know, that kind of thing, way of thinking. Or this person's also said they also have something. They actually work for the hospital. They said that we also have those patients at the hospital, and they say it goes to the brain, the worms nest in the brain, destroys patients' brain, and they die sometimes. Is that what they think it is?
No,
is that totally different?
This one here, this is a little bit different. This is basically starts with the symptoms that occur on the skin. And like I said, this is the lymphatic system. It's a systemic thing. However, this thing, it can live in, or it lives actually, in five or six different stages at the same time in one body, okay? So, so far, one thing that is quite amazing about it, like, for example, in the last 2 years that I have it, even when I'm fighting with the symptoms of Morgellons, okay, I never had a flu, I never had a cold, I never coughed, sneezed, or anything like that. You know,
really?
which would be total opposite to for somebody who's basically suffers from some of the superbugs, because they become quite ill.
Yeah,
wow.
I think we have to start tying it into other things too. when people are of a lower frequency, whether they're stressed or various factors will lower your frequency. It seems like the more of an outbreak you get, the lower the frequency you're at. And if you can raise your vibratory rate closer to the pulse of the earth, then you're not bothered by it as much. And I'm speaking from various clients that I've worked with that once they've raised their vibratory rate, one of my clients, we did a scientific experiment, and she played with the fibers, and she put a drop of one of the remedies in a corner, and the fibers all gravitated to it. And then she left them alone for a while, and when she looked, they had formed the double helix of the DNA.
Wow.
It's almost like an artificial intelligence. It's almost like somebody else's DNA living in our body trying to take over our DNA or mimic it, or I don't know. It's just really bizarre. But I don't know whether you'd be in agreement with that, Stan, is the lower the vibratory rate, the more of an outbreak, and the lousier you feel, but you raise your frequency and it tends to go by the way of the dodo bird for a little while.
Absolutely, yeah. I couldn't agree more. And there's other aspects to it. For example, we had 10 days ago, we had two new registries, and we're getting a new Canadian registered at least one a day. And we had a registry of two people who are twins. They live, one of them lives in Ontario, the other one lives in Manitoba. They were infected by this at the same day and the same afternoon, living two provinces apart.
Do you think that may have been something regarding, say, for example, the chemtrails? And we've been actually having a lot of chemtrails these last few years. Do you feel that it may have something to do with that as well?
Well, I think it's a good possibility, but I'm at this point I'm not 100% sure because we start kind of overlapping like different almost boundaries of consciousness and of awareness. And I know that for example, when I became infected, I think it was 2 days later, I had this big wound on my lower leg, and just when I was basically sitting by my bed, I noticed this what looked like a very fine strain from like a spider web. And I noticed that between just in the border between the light and the darkness, as the light was shining, you know, from the night table. And so I just bent down and I kind of like pinched by the wound, okay, at nothing really because I couldn't see anything, and pulled away to see if there's anything there, like what I kind of perceived for a second. And as soon as my hand actually passed again through the shadow and light barrier, okay, I start seeing that little very fine filament that I was actually pulling out of the wound. Okay, and I pulled it out about 5 feet, then I let go and again went pinched by the wound and start pulling again. And I did that about 3 times, okay, and on the third time, on the third pull, I start feeling this pulling sensation actually in my toe. Okay, it was really bizarre. And the same night, me and my wife, we went out, it was about 11 o'clock at night, we went for a walk, and again, I don't know what was driving me towards that, but I just bent, and on the sidewalk, I just bent down and just kind of like pinched over the tile and lift up my fingers between, again, the right to the border of from the street lights and the darkness, and start seeing that I was picking up like about 4 or 5 of filaments like that that just went for another 20 feet farther. And the same thing was on the grass, same thing was on the road, same thing was on the sidewalk. It was just amazing. And that is true chemtrail. Wow.
And not everybody sees it.
That becomes, I got somebody else here saying, they're saying the aliens are cloning us and they're taking our fibers and they're duplicating us. And do you think that maybe it could be that?
Well, as far as aliens, I don't think of aliens, as such as a green man. Like for me, basically, what I perceive aliens as such, really, it's an inorganic intelligence, okay?
Yeah.
That is out there, and actually, out there, it's everywhere, and it just so happens that my kind of a take on this, and this is kind of a part of the book that I'm writing, that the human race was actually interfered with long time ago. Okay, I think that basically the message that I get through my kind of what I call the subtle channeling is that us as humans we were interfered with about 40,000 years ago when something was put into the bodies that lived symbiotically with the human body, and the beings that engineered it. Okay, they are obviously of amazing scientists and biologists, and this was set up that the human body actually would not reject that. And I believe that this implant was had a plan of an antenna, and with certain vibration being pumped onto the earth, this antenna basically was affecting our mind and was in a way really controlling our mind. Because, like when we looked around, like this is insanity what's going on. And human being as a body, we were actually engineered to be logical, to be rational, to be compassionate. We had all kinds of like good features. But what's going on there, it's obviously becoming more and more opposite of that. And I just wonder if, and this is basically going back to the Morgulons right now, that when somewhere along the way, when, let's call them the good guys, came around instead of these people who were these beings that were interfering with us, and start producing another vibration that's actually, at this point, when it starts flooding the earth, start interfering and breaking down some of these implants that were in the human system. And therefore, this what Morgellons is actually breakdown of the what I call the antennas implanted in the human body eons ago.
So basically, this person possibly could be right, that it may have started 40,000 years ago, and even you're thinking this way, that it possibly could be alienated, which basically is part of our Star Brothers, that may have brought and experimented on us, possibly, to see how we can probably see if we can survive on their planet. There may be some, they may have had another purpose for us besides just experimentation.
Yeah.
Other than that, also too, I mean, we also talk about, here's something else, when we talk about the canola oil, the wheat, and cotton fields. Now, it's also in the States as well, right?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, is it far greater, more patients showing up in the States, or are there more patients showing up in Canada, or is it pretty well averaged out?
Well, you see, like, at this point, what's happening is that in the United States, first of all, it's a much larger country, and also the people there are much more, in general, somehow more aggressive and more outspoken than would be in Canada. Canada seems to be much more controlled by fear than the United States. And so this way, with the diagnosis that people are getting of being delusional, lots of them are very afraid to really speak up or to talk to anybody about the issue that they're actually experiencing. In the United States, finally, started more about a year and a half ago, that the media became more involved, and especially last about 8 months. So therefore, there's much more happening about it right now. There's much more awareness of Morgellons in the United States than it would be in Canada. In Canada, there was virtually no media coverage of it whatsoever. We contacted many media, newspaper and radio and TV stations, who basically definitely shy away from it. Today, I had a long discussion with people at BCCDC, who were basically just outright, trying to throw obstacles that to any involvement that they should have with that. And the latest is that, for example, the CDC, they decided they're going to wait till the U.S. CDC is going to do something about it. And, the Canada, the infection of the Morgellons is as present as in the United States, if not more, okay, except the awareness of that, it's not there. I'm meeting everyday people who basically, I know that they have Morgellons, and sometimes when there would be a situation the person can be approached, they say, I have this incredible eczema that my doctor doesn't know what to do with it for the last 3.5 years. That's bizarre. It's at the same time, I at least think that, this is still better be diagnosed wrongly with a bad eczema that the doctor doesn't know what to do with it than just tell the person that they're imagining it. It is very present in Canada, yes.
I think the last...
Joanne, how did you come across, when was your first client or your first person came across noticing that you had that person had Morgellons?
Are you asking?
When did you recognize it then? Was it a year ago, 2 years ago, or...?
I guess a year ago, maybe 2 years ago.
Did you know about it from the beginning, or did you meet Stan and found out after about...
No. For whatever reason, I had come across it on the internet, and I had talked to some practitioners that I work with, and they had been reading up on it too. And nobody knew anybody at that point in time, but we were discussing it, going, "Oh, brother, now what do you do in a case like that, right?" And then along comes, all of a sudden, three or four people with Morgellons within the same month. So we thought, I guess we were supposed to find out about this beforehand. And the people that have actually come to us, were so relieved when we actually said the M word, because they had done their own research, realized that they probably had it, and everybody else goes, "You got what?" And we went, "Oh, it looks like, Morgellons." And they went, "Whoa, you guys know about this? Like, they were so shocked and relieved at the same time, right? And I've spoken about the QXCI machine. It's beyond that. Beyond it, the only thing that I can actually say that anybody with Morgellons that we've worked on with the QXCI is that the level of the DNA is very, very low, but it's very correctable through frequency. And that's the only thing that has really ever shown. But most people have a really low DNA. You know, their DNA is very, very slow in functioning, and it's depleted. So I wouldn't even consider that abnormal, you know. But it's beyond that. Like I said, it's beyond anything that we're working with at this present time.
So basically, I mean, this is not a flu virus. This is actually a
virus.
Okay, now, you know, if you think about it, everyone out in this world, you know, when we have the avian flu scare, and there's only, like, nobody here in Canada had died from the avian flu, nor from the United States, but a few people in China, just a couple of people in China passed away from avian flu. They made a pandemic or an epidemic about this, and they started destroying all the chickens and the turkeys, anything that had fowl to it, connected to the farms, and they were basically doing the major cleansing in the farmers' sites. I'm talking about major, major problems, and even the veterinarians were insistently, and the government was insistently even thinking about actually destroying people's birds, pets, in their houses to go that far. Does it have to take something like this to get the attention of the Morgellons, or is it going to have to say, how do we get it out there, how do we get the public to know that, look, this actually really exists? It's been around for quite a while, and we need to do something about it, because you're really not saying nothing about this. Why is the medical industry so afraid to talk about it?
That's because they don't have any answers. And actually, I think there's a fear factor also. The avian flu is a bird flu. That's where it starts. That's where it ends. It's like HIV. What HIV virus? They've never isolated it. What's Hep C? Hep C? Who knows what Hep C is? They've never isolated a virus. It's inflammation of the liver, so they call it Hep C. You know, there's so many squirrely gigs out there that you've got to, you know, do your own interpretations on it, right? And I really...
Well, not really. It's not really the medical industry that tries to say, we can't do anything about this. It's the politics of it.
Yeah, it's the politics.
That doesn't want to, it's not making them any money.
It's the whole system. Like,
does that make any sense, Sam?
Well, you see, it does, but on the other hand, there's something even a little bit more to it, okay? The fact that actually, when you think about it, that, you know, like, let's say that in the United States right now, the Morgellons Foundation, there's 10,000 registered families. In Canada, we have right now about, just in our society, we have about 500 people registered. So when you start taking these large amounts of people, like, I don't know, maybe 15,000, that some of them went to see between 50 and 60 doctors, okay, and the verdict's always the same, okay, you start actually questioning that, like, what's really going on? And no wonder that sometimes people jumping to some conspiracy theories and so on, because this is just outright bizarre that somebody can go to three or four doctors, okay, they definitely, their health's deteriorating, they feel horrible, and they're still being told that they're delusional without actually anybody really truly checking them out. And this is the biggest kind of a complaint from Morgellons people, is that when they go to end up at, say, dermatologist's office, that the dermatologists don't use any tools, okay, that diagnostic tools, that they would maybe take a sample of the fiber, put it under a microscope, or have a dermatoscope to run special tests, do a biopsy for special tests or anything. They actually, without even sometimes examining the skin, diagnose them as a delusional. And delusional parasitosis is actually, it's a diagnosis of exclusion, which means that can be applied only when actually all other tests are exhausted and there's nothing else left, not the other way.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, so now, do you have any lectures or any conventions you're going to at all to share information regarding this? Or do you have any schedules happening sometime soon? So others can actually come to it, or whether it's in Canada or the United States?
Well, Brauerhead, I'm sorry, I misunderstood that. I didn't understand
you're
that.
Scheduled when you're on the road and you want to share your information regarding Morgulons. Do you have any places that you're going to be doing your lectures at?
Well, right now, the one thing that's coming up, and this is basically through one of the main researchers in the field, which is Hildegard Stenninger from L.A. She's going to be presenting a big paper in a symposium and seminars that are going to be done in Denver, Colorado, and there will be there from all over the world. And I'm really hoping that that's going to catch people's attention. Myself, I was in October in Oklahoma. There was a gathering of people with Morgulons. And I did my kind of a little presentation there. And right now, I'm just finishing actually a quite large article that I'm hoping that could be published in some of the magazines to raise the awareness of that in Canada.
Mm-hmm. So basically, you're the representative for Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that right now it's Canada really needs some help. I'm talking to people who are in such a desperate need. And you see, like, I'm very grateful. Like, for example, the lady who introduced me to Joanne, which was Anna Y. Graves, who's a live blood specialist or doing that live blood analysis here in Victoria. And
yeah.
Then the herbalist, like what Joanne's doing, that they actually, through that field, okay, which would be in our kind of a society considered almost like the secondary field for some strange reason to medical, okay, that they so supportive and that they actually taking these people seriously. Because without that, I bet you we would have already many, many suicides, okay, of people who couldn't handle that. And there was already people who killed themselves who couldn't handle this in the United States.
Yeah, there's been a 14-year-old boy that killed himself, eh?
Yeah, I met his parents and everything, and we had a little service for them when we were in Oklahoma. Yeah, it's a very sad story.
Yeah,
wow.
I mean, yeah, people don't have anywhere to turn. People don't have people to talk to, so an awareness has to be created. And
I guess you two right now being on this show, they're going to have to turn to you guys for at least some sort of consolation. And at least some version of an alternative that will help them, give them an idea of what can be done, because actually what it takes is the public to basically make a statement and to contact their politicians or the representatives of the cabinet and say, look, you know, you guys need to do something about this, or, you know, we're going to have to send Joanne to stand down there.
Look out, folks. Then they're really in trouble, eh, Ted?
Canada, that's how Canada sends a threat, you know. We got to send Joanne and stand down there.
Yep, that'll do it. The least they have to deal with me, the better off they think they are. Well, you know, I find it curious, though, that, you know, maybe people in South America have Morgulons, but there's no reported cases there. And it's the only continent on this planet that has no reported cases of Morgulons. Europe is full. Australia is full. Everybody's full. Everywhere there's Morgulons on the map, except South America.
Yeah, I remember, too, the government has been taking and conditioning us by not allowing us to use our herbs. They're trying to close those, again, the version of the health restore.
Well, actually,
so we need to fight back on this.
Yeah, we do have some South American herbs here, but you know what? I think the problem is that their government is blatantly dishonest, and everybody knows they're dishonest, and ours just keeps hiding behind closed doors. And maybe, I don't know, that I just find it very strange that there's...
You do know this, that in South America there's a certain flower that you mix it in a tincture, and when you take it, it actually gets rid of the virus. Any type of virus, it tastes like it's more like a reddish orange flower. And apparently, the only people that know how to find it are actually the South American Aboriginal people, that they pick it and they bring it back and they're healthy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why we can't find, and we try to find that flower, and we're never shown how to, because they keep it within their own tribal needs. Just like when you do yourself, when you go to the bush yourself, when you are harvesting, you don't take a whole bunch of people with you and say, well, here, help me this, pick this. You're on your own.
No, no. And
because
and
if you let a government official follow you, you know very well your crop is gone.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, totally exploited.
So, I mean, the thing is that I feel that myself, my feelings is that this needs to be shared. You need, I mean, I really like to thank Stan and you, Joanne, for bringing this forward because it makes a lot of sense. It takes a young 14-year-old to decide he wanted to commit suicide because he had more gallons and no one wants to do anything about it. And they're stepping back from this trial or other people like as if looking at like an AIDS patient. I mean,
well,
come on.
You know, not only that, I mean, the people that are on heroin, they have all kinds of, you know, safe sites that they can go get fresh needles. They you know, we honor all kinds of different disorders. So why is
yeah.
Margellan's always swept under the carpet? Do they know something we don't know? Like, could be. Maybe they're all told to shut up. Who knows?
Well, maybe somebody's got something going on that they already discovered it, and they may have had they may have the solution for it. They may have discovered, you know, the healing element for it, but they're not sharing it because it may cost us something.
But you know, the reaction of the setup that we have, like for example, like the British Columbia Center for Disease Control in Vancouver. Okay, when they were first time contacted with us about a year and a half ago, they basically, you know, said, no, you have to go to your community, you have to check with people there, and they didn't really want to have a part of it. When they were contacted again about 9 months and 8 months ago, at that point, Dr. Burnham, which is actually the director of the CDC in Vancouver, said that he appointed another person to actually follow it up closely. So when we contacted this individual, he basically told us that he's following very closely the research of the CDC in Atlanta, and they're going to go by the research there and then act accordingly. So since we're talking to the people in Atlanta at least once a month, we know that actually there's no research going on. So when we actually, you know, hold back and saying, you know, this is kind of a really hokey answer to the problem that we have here, because how can you be following research that is non-existent? And at that point, they ceased to communicate with us.
Fancy.
So today was finally when I talked to one of the people at CDC. Basically, they really never, in the last 7 or 8 months, they basically telling the same story that CDC is doing something about it. They're very busy with who knows what and totally ignoring this fact, which actions like that and reaction to actually to the problem that are very existent and surfacing more and more. And what's really scary about that is, for example, in the United States, the Margolin Foundation, they had 6 months ago, they had 4,500 families registered. 6 months later, they had 10,000. So that means this something's growing and something's really picking up momentum. If this is very actually infectious disease, okay, in one form or another, I think we're looking at lots of trouble. And that the CDC is so ignorant of that, it basically just lends itself to really conspiracy theories and so on, because otherwise it's beyond imagination that they could act like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, there's a cover-up going on somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere. Oh, I know there is. There's got to be. I mean, the thing is, you think about it, if the government's telling the TV stations, the radio stations not to talk about it, what's going on? You know, what's the secret? I mean, not by the other program, the secret, but what's the secret? What's the purpose? Why are they trying to get you to not talk about it? And yet, I mean, yes, people have actually said, you know, well, we need to downsize our population, but we're not overly populated because this world is not overpopulated. There's plenty of room for us to live. Just what's happening is that society themselves are leaving other countries to come to another part of the world. And so basically that's the overpopulation. It has nothing to do with saying we're overpopulated because some of the countries are actually beginning to empty out. Not because there's nothing wrong with the world. They themselves decided to move. They're inspired to come into Canada or the United States or elsewhere. So
yeah.
They can't say there's something wrong with us. There isn't. We just, this is how we are.
If we
just want to make decisions wanting to move. And there are people out there wanting to make decisions how to work with alternative medicine. And you two are the ones. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's important. If you guys, I'll tell you one thing. If you guys ever walked away from all this, people would be in basically, most people just give up on themselves. There won't be anything there left because there are very few of us around that really do care, that shows caring.
Well, Well,
you know,
anybody with half a conscience could never walk away. I don't know where all these people think they're going to end up. Even if they know what it is, why don't they just say, oops, nanotechnology, if that's what it is, got away from us, let's work together and see what we can do.
That's exactly what I couldn't understand today, like speaking to CDC. They basically said, I gave them even some idea who to phone, which researchers, and to find out actually some of the latest results, because they're obviously totally ignorant of that. And then the person says, I don't have time tomorrow, I don't have that time on Friday, on Monday I'm busy, I'll be here only for 2 hours, and so on. And so, really what it is, it's the people in power, okay, in this case it's the medical profession as such, they act like immortals. Okay.
And
the fact that actually the day that goes by, it's actually sometimes eternity to the person who suffers.
Yeah. Okay?
And they totally ignore that. They start so totally oblivious to that, that actually the awareness of that, or the they just unable to empathize. It's just missing out of the system.
I'm glad I'm not them. Really.
Oh yeah, no. That's scarier than Morgellons.
It is.
Yeah.
It is, totally. Yeah. To have no conscience and be able to just walk away and say, well, I'm too busy, and no, this doesn't really exist, it's in your head, you know, and these medical professionals that I can't believe the money they're making, and people keep telling me that the healthcare system is in trouble. Well, it's no flippin' wonder, because you walk into an office, 10 minutes later you walk out, and how much did this dude get paid? You know, and you still don't have any answers?
Now they are saying that you have to, right now here in B.C., in British Columbia, they're talking about opening up doctor's offices here in our area, but these are basically the hospital industry does not want these doctor's offices to be in existence.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these doctors' offices are actually alternative medicine doctors. These are actually naturopaths.
Yeah, yeah.
And they told them if they actually continue on being naturopathic doctors, that they're going to be fined and not recognized by the federal government. Come on. These guys are trying to help the alternatives, and all of a sudden say, well, look, work along with the boys, like work along with it. But now they're saying, no, now you have to prescribe a natural medicine, a vitamin B, that's going to cost you in the future. It's going to cost you not $5 and some cents for a bottle of, say, 100. You're going to end up paying $125 for a bottle of 100.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's the arrogance and the power that's actually. But you know, in one way, we as the people, we gave the power to the medical industry. And one thing that the Morgellons brought to people is basically the awareness of actually giving the power away, and the stupidity of and the ignorance of what we're dealing with, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I never forget like how I had to wait actually for 7 weeks to get an appointment to a dermatologist in Vancouver, then drive 100 miles to get there, sit in the office for an hour waiting. The whole appointment happened in 10 minutes, out of which the person never came to me any closer than about 8 feet, with the exception of giving me psychotropic medication prescription.
And for your delusions?
And then for the remaining about 8.5 minutes, he gave me a lecture about the wonders of the mind. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was back in my car, and I just actually wondered what happened.
Yeah.
It was just absolutely amazing. So how did, and then when you start thinking that actually some of the people that suffer with Morgellons see 30, 40, 50, 60 doctors in their search to get some validation on some kind of a relief on their symptoms, okay, that's an amazing strain of the system and the money that everybody's charging, and on the end, the worst thing about it, they're not helping nobody.
Yeah.
Well, I want to ask you a question there, Stan. In your own answer, if you feel, or for example, if I know somebody who's got Morgellons, do I send them to you?
Absolutely.
Your advice.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that if anybody who basically thinks that they may have a Morgellons, which is basically really weird symptoms on the skin, that's how it starts. It feels something's crawling on the skin or under the skin, and then people look for it and cannot see anything. This is basically the main original symptoms, and then start seeing kind of a strange fibers. We have the website. It's a Canadian website, the morgellonscanada.ca, and you can register. We usually answer within 24 hours, and also we do phone people. We discuss with them the symptoms. We right now trying to also cultivate or kind of making a few doctors in each province a little bit more aware of that. And we did find some people who actually are responsive right now. And that this way, some people can actually, in their province in Canada, can actually start finding doctors that will validate and start working with them and working so they can actually get back into the system and get support of what they really need.
Good. And Joanne, you actually have a website called wildwomanherbs.com, wildwomanherbs.com.
Yep.
And also, what would your answer be now if I see somebody had morgellons, I'd send them to you as well?
What would my answer be?
Or would you pass them on to Stan?
Yeah. No, no. Well, I would definitely tell them about Stan and his association. however, I would talk to them about raising the vibratory rate of their being, which is, you know, you can sit there and you can tell yourself anything you want. And doctors may talk about the power of the mind, but you know what? They have no idea. No idea. You got to walk a mile in somebody's shoes before you actually have any idea of where they're going and where they've come from. And I listen to a lot of horror stories with people with morgellons, and you know what? I can empathize, but I haven't walked that those roads that they have. I'm starting to feel like I am because, you know, I talk to so many. But and that's a good thing because, you know, I can actually feel for these people. And, yeah, the two remedies that I have on the website, the Infinite Seven and the Heaven Connection, those are the ones so far that work. There's other vibratory ones that actually help, too. It depends on the individual. So usually I try to get a feel for the individual first to see which one would apply to them because everybody's life is different, right?
Yeah. Well, I got to say, too, John, that one thing, you know, that especially like here, we were very impressed with the fact that when morgellons surfaced, that also at the same time, there was lots of people kind of peddling snake oil who surfaced and started basically taking advantage of that. And, you know, and I'm impressed that basically, first of all, how you went about it, how you spend the time with people, how and then people who actually start working with you, that they start actually ordering the stuff back from you. Again, depends what you suggested for them. And you spend the time. And I think that that was very different that, you know, what we encountered with some other individuals before. So, you know, I'm really grateful for anybody who's basically registered with our society that, you know, we're very thankful to you.
Oh, you're welcome. It's the least I can.
Well, thanks, guys. I really appreciate Dan. Thank you for coming on the show. It was wonderful. It was actually hugely informative. And thanks, Joanne, for coming back here as well. I really appreciate you guys being online. I look forward to actually talking to you guys again. And, Stan, we'll have to set up another schedule again because I want to get you back on here and we'll talk about morgellons again down the road.
Okay.
Would you like to come back?
Well, thank you very much. We definitely would like to come back, yes.
Yep,
okay.
Totally.
Okay, thank you, guys. And
thank you very much.
This is Derek White out, and you're listening to Between Two Worlds, and we are about to shut her down because the show is moving on for someone else. So, guys, take care. Those in the chat room, take care. All those out there, you take care. We'll talk to you in the meantime, in between time. That's it. Another edition of Between Two Worlds with Derek White, Sky Cloud, your psychic medium. Take care, guys. Bye.